when I read this, it reminds me just of what you're saying, that there is a reason so that God will be praised. We're not just doing it for goodness sake.
Mm-hmm.
In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Matthew 5:16.
Thank you. No more needs to be said about goodness. That sums it up. Welcome to Study with Friends. We're a group of women studying the Bible together, inviting you to join us as we deepen our relationship with God through His Word. This week is part 3 of our study in Galatians 5:22-23, the fruit of the Spirit. If you need to catch up with us, please get to our website, studywithfriends.org, and pull up the series in the search box. You can listen there online or search us on iTunes or TuneIn Radio. That's studywithfriends.org. While you're there on the website, click on your favorite social media channel in the upper right-hand corner of the site to follow us for daily inspiration from God's Word. You'll find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. When you can't be with us here, we love being able to encourage you there. We're picking this week up in the middle of a conversation about patience, and we just talked about how that word biblically can also be translated as the word long-suffering. That was eye-opening for me. Let's talk a little bit more about patience. Okay, so let's read the biblical definition, which is actually exactly what you just said. Do you happen to have Romans 15? Who has that?
I have that.
Okay, so Romans 15 is really just a bookend to what Cindy just said. Would you read it, Kay?
Yeah, Romans 15:4-6. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus, so that with one heart and one mouth you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 15:4-6.
Does anybody's translation use patience there? Because it's the same thing I just said, which is sometimes it's exchanged for endurance. Okay, so that passage in Kay's translation, which is what version, Kay?
NIV.
Does not say patience, and maybe none of them do, but the reason that I lifted up that verse is because it really is the testimony to the fact that this only really can come from the Lord. Patience and long-suffering only really can come from the Lord. These are gifts.
15:4.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. Is that exactly
that's
the
hers
same
too.
As yours?
Well, yeah. Mine says steadfastness.
Yep. Well, you might have a newer NIV. Sometimes there's a newer. I have the older. Be that as it may, let's just say this. Do you think that it's a reach that this is the scripture that speaks to patience, or do you think it's right?
I think this scripture speaks to long suffering.
Yeah. And if that's the definition of patience and endurance, and steadfastness is another really good word. Steadfastness is the same.
Well, so
stay
endurance.
The course, stay
about
the course.
Running a marathon. Mm-hmm. Oh, Lord, do you need endurance?
Keep going,
for that?
Keep going. But it's the suffering. Because if you weren't suffering a little bit, you wouldn't
suffering.
Have to exercise patience through it. It would be joyful and you'd be happy and you wouldn't have to be patient. So,
mm-hmm. Well, okay. And I have found, I have a friend who is, more than any other friends, is always very sort of, and rightly so, focused on how awesome heaven is going to be. I think figured out why that is. And it's because she has had a very difficult life. In her situation, you know, she had a difficult upbringing. So I think that she has always, from the time she was young, you know, her grandmother brought her to church and she became a Christian. I think that has always been her focus because she was suffering.
Mm.
I think that sometimes that's the only way that God can get our attention to put our focus where it needs to be.
Mm-hmm.
When things seem easy here and our only problems are first world problems of getting the kids out the door in the morning to school on time, we're not suffering and we don't have that. It's more difficult, I should say, to keep things in that proper perspective.
Yeah, that's great. Thank you for sharing that. Do you know what denomination she happens to be or was raised in?
She goes to a Baptist church now. I'm not sure what denomination she's
raised in. So funny because I think denominationally we do better in some areas than others. I just wanted to lift that up because I think that in some denominations, there's probably not enough talk about heaven and looking forward to heaven,
mm-hmm.
but there should be. I thought it was great that you said, and rightfully so, she's very focused on that because that's really what we're talking about. This is temporal.
we're humans and we need to be reminded of that. And so it's really good if you can circle back every Sunday and somebody's saying it, you know, somebody say it. Okay. Anything else on patience? Okay. Let's move to kindness, and I'm going to pick it up a little bit because there's so much more I want to talk about. And I just want to make sure I'm respectful of your time. What do you think kindness looks like? Again, we're going to get to the Bible stuff. But what do you think in common definition, what is kindness?
I think it's mostly shown in action. I think the sort of typical definition, I'm curious to see what the biblical definition we come up with, because I think our typical definition is an act of kindness, doing something for someone.
I agree. And actually, this will be a great tie together because I think, and you tell me if you agree, if I had to exchange a word for kindness to define it, I would say compassion. Anytime I do something kind, it's because I'm being compassionate. And the truth is that that is how the Bible defines it. And I think, again, we're going to read a scripture that's not, doesn't necessarily say the word kindness, but I think is going to give us a good biblical picture of it. Who has Mark 6:34?
I do.
Okay, Mark 6:34. Jesus is coming to feed the 5,000. As he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. Mark 6:34.
Now, there's 100 examples like that. Oh, yeah. When the woman touched his coat, or when he saw Zacchaeus in the tree, or when he healed anybody, the guy who came down through the roof, or when he healed on the Sabbath. It was, he knew he was going to get flack for that, but he did it anyway from compassion. And to me, those are the highest acts of kindness. That's the highest definition of kindness. Do you feel like that's a good definition? Do you see what I was saying earlier, that these things are hard to, like, the definition of table is flat surface above the ground, often for sitting, usually with legs to support it. That's the definition of table. The definition of kindness, we have to use like these other ideas, like actions, or here's what it looks like. And that's what I found challenging. Like, how do I define these things only by the way they look, which actually, spoiler alert, I'm just going to tell you now, it's exactly what it's supposed to be, because it's about how the world sees us and how we look like Jesus to the world. And so we should be defining these things with our actions and the things that are outward from us. And so that was sort of a full circle thing that I was like, why am I having such a hard time putting words on this? Because these things aren't meant to be just words. They're meant to be life and action and boots on the ground for Jesus. And so, you know, like I said earlier, Jesus says a tree is known by its fruit. What am I growing in my life? And how does that look? So I think it's okay for us to define it by how it looks. I did that halfway through, but I couldn't wait. I was impatient. Can we move to goodness, or do you want to spend a little more time? I know we could spend like hours in each one. It's really good stuff, but okay. For goodness, I'm going to remind us of something I said a little bit ago, which is when we think about the God expression of this and the people expression of this, and we just, all of these things, we should be mindful of those, but this one's, I think, especially worth looking at it that way. Okay, so let's do common definition first. Again, very difficult to put your finger on what's goodness, especially if you've been churched for any period of time, because the first thing that comes to your head is none of us are good. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So goodness is almost like a bad word, right? Like, no, not good, not good.
I think bad. I think the people definition is morality.
I do. I agree.
Goodness and morality are synonymous in society when people talk about
it. I agree. I think that goodness looks like a lot of the other things to the common definition. Goodness does look like patience. That's a good person. She's such a good person.
Or
she's
kind,
so patient.
Right? It looks like kindness.
With her crazy kids or with her crazy mom, she's so patient. She's so good. She's such a good person. She's so faithful to her job, to her husband.
The first thing I thought of that immediately came to my mind was, surely goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life.
Amen. And that is Psalms 23.
That's six.
Yep. Yes.
So, yeah, but I have a friend who's an atheist who has a plaque in her house that says, be good for goodness sake. And of course we hear that Christmas song, "You better be good for goodness sake," which we interpret as "be good" and like a finger wag. Oh, you better be good.
Right.
Gosh darn it. So for goodness sake. But there's another description, which I think the world lives by, which is "be good for the sake of goodness, be a good force, be an energy of good in the world." And that's what she means by that. Be good for goodness sake. And I have to tell you, I don't have the ability to do that. And I hope the plaque helps her. But I think as humans, we don't have the ability to do that. I think we have the ability to be good for the glory of Christ through the spirit that lives in us. The Bible says anything that is good is from God. I think that's actually one of our verses. So I don't know. I think we would be remiss theologically if we didn't talk a little bit about the word good and the common definition of good. And let's just go ahead and combat that with the Bible verses we have. Who has James 1:17? I think that's the one that I was just thinking about.
Oh, that's me. Okay, so James 1:17. "Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows." That's James 1:17.
Yeah, so every good and perfect thing is from God, right? Is the gist of that.
I'm going to read mine because it's different. "Every generous act of giving with every perfect gift is from above, coming down from Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change." But every generous act of giving with every perfect gift.
You must have, I think you have Life Application.
I do.
And what translation?
What was it? We looked it
New
up.
New Revised Standard
NRSV?
Version.
Okay. Yeah, that's good. I always... Another big surprise. I always appreciate when a translation has more words. Say more about that.
Right.
Say more words.
A little bit better for me. I'm not quite getting it.
Yeah, right. I just like that. Like the Message does that too.
Right.
My favorite is to pull up a verse on the Bible app on my phone and just click on like
all
four
the
different
parallel
translations.
Yeah. And I like that too.
Yeah.
What a gift we have in technology.
Amen.
I mean, even from back when I started teaching the Bible, literally I would be on my dining room table with books upon books upon books. And I tell you, in my heart of hearts, I still do love
my
books.
I like books on paper.
Yeah, but there are days when I'm like, Google, 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 googly, Google, Google. Because that's
googly
that's when I have to just hit that, you know, that lesson plan, and I need those resources. And I am so thankful for the electronic resources. Although I still do love my Strong's Exhaustive Concordance. I feel like I want to put that in my backpack and take it with me all the time. That's good. Thank you for reading both versions, because that's super helpful. And who has Matthew 5:16?
Oh, that's me too. Matthew 5:16 says, "In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven."
Okay. So what I wanted to say there is, again, and we put them in just the right order, but goodness has a God element and it has a me element. I just confess to you that that at the core of it, I truly believe that all goodness is a God thing. But then there's another layer to it, that goodness is from God and it's for God, that there's a purpose. And that's true, guys, of all the fruit of the Spirit. These things are from God and they are for the glory of God. So would you just to resound that, I'm sorry, would you just read that passage one more time? Because I think that's a point it's worthy of reiterating.
Absolutely. And when I read this, it reminds me just of what you're saying, that there is a reason so that God will be praised. We're not just doing it for goodness sake.
Mm-hmm.
"In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." Matthew 5:16.
Thank you. No more needs to be said about goodness. That sums it up. Let's move to faithfulness. And then again, let's talk about our faithfulness and God's faithfulness. Really important. So we have a faithfulness element and God has a faithfulness element. Okay, while you're looking up your verses, I'm going to be looking for Ephesians 1:1, Colossians 1:2, and 1 Kings 8:56. So look those up, and then I'm going to say what I think the common definition of faithfulness is. We think about marriage, being faithful in marriage, being faithful to your job, faithful to a commitment, faithful to an obligation. And really, we think about it in the face of adversity.
Right.
That faithfulness is most obviously displayed when what you'd really want to do is cut bait and run. And that's the common definition. It's not so far off from the biblical definition. Let's explore the biblical definition. Who has Ephesians 1:1? And we could read those two together. Ephesians 1:1 and Colossians 1:2. These both, you can tell by their address, they fall in the greeting. Paul always uses a greeting at the beginning of his letters. And so we're just looking at the faithfulness of the church at Ephesus and the church at Colossus, and Paul lifting that out as a definition of faithfulness. So if we could read both of those back to back.
Okay, I have both. So Ephesians 1:1, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus. That's Ephesians 1:1. And then Colossians 1:2, to the saints and faithful brothers and sisters in Christ in Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father.
I mean, obviously, it's just a statement of faithfulness on behalf of the people, but you know, obviously, I could do a deep dive on. I wrote like 72 pages on greetings. Someday I'll publish.
Wow, that's a lot of
that's a lot of pages. But the truth is, there's a lot to be said in a greeting. We always skip over them. We skip over them.
The greetings.
But the truth is, there's like you almost could learn more in the greeting than like the five chapters after, because what is he saying and why is God lifting this people group up, and what are we supposed to learn from them? And most of the time, what you're supposed to learn is totally packed into the greeting. Like, here's what's up. Now let's talk about it. And so I just think that the greeting lifts out that these are faithful people and they're worthy of that nod, and that we want to strive to be faithful to God and to his church and to his people. Okay, now how about Matthew 5:16? This is more on the faithfulness of God. I'm sorry, I said Matthew 5:16, but I was looking the wrong place. 1 Kings 8:56. I'm so sorry.
I have that. 1 Kings 8:56. Praise be to the Lord who has given rest to his people Israel, just as he promised. Not one word has failed all of the good promises he gave through his servant Moses. 1 Kings 8:56.
So that's a moment in time, but it's actually very much transcendent, right? Across the entire Bible and also across the entire Christian experience. God is faithful to his promises. He's faithful to his people. Not one thing that he promised will go undone. He will finish his work. He will complete it in us. He will complete it on earth. He will complete it for the kingdom. He will complete it in the spectrum of time. And so even though that was a moment in time, we could talk more about like what was happening with the Israelites, suffice it to say, they had been through some stuff, and they were now reflecting that God is faithful and certainly worth us doing on a regular basis. More on faithfulness.
I can't find the verse that I want to refer to on faithfulness. It's in Timothy, and it says, when we are faithless, God is faithful. 2 Timothy 2:13, if we are faithless, he will remain faithful. And that's something that I had hanging by my kitchen sink for a long time as a reminder of God's faithfulness. It's not based on his faithfulness is not based on anything we do.
Yeah.
Or don't do.
Yeah. We're actually going to be doing a series coming up soon on Malachi, which is going to really dive into God's faithfulness to a faithless people. Okay, let's talk about gentleness. Okay, so the verses we're going to look at are Philippians 2:3, Psalm 44:21, and Jeremiah 33:3. In the meantime, I'll tell you a couple things that I think about when I think about gentleness. And then another one of those other translations that really gave me a deeper understanding. Gentleness, I think of, so we have a lot of toddlers in our lives and like preschoolers, and we have two pets. And so we always say, gentle, gentle,
exactly,
don't pull her tail, don't pull his ears, mm-hmm. be gentle right. with the puppy, be gentle with the kitty. And that's, I think, the common definition of gentleness, without force, without right. violence, maybe. But, and I think we're going to unpack it in these three verses, another translation for gentleness is yieldedness. And when I think about yielding, that's a different thing than being without violence. In fact, it's a quite different thing. And it's really more about humility, and it's being yielded both to God, guys, and to others. So it's humility towards others. There's a scripture, and it might be the one I'm referencing. I should have really written down all the scriptures I was referencing, but there's a scripture that says, consider others better than yourself. And that's really gentleness. That's yieldedness, considering others before yourself, considering others better than yourself.
I also think that's a good definition of humility. Absolutely. Which I think mm-hmm. it says in that verse, mm-hmm. in humility, consider others better than yourselves.
Yeah, I think so too. Let me find that if it's not Philippians. Who has Philippians 2:3? I can do it. Does someone have Psalm 44:21?
I have that. In Psalm 44:21, we read, would not God have discovered it since he knows the secrets of the heart? Psalm 44:21.
Is that a stretch for you? Do you have any idea what I was going for there?
Is it like the desires of your heart?
Nope. I love you. No.
Guess I need to work on that.
Actually, partner it with Jim. This is going to help. Because as much as I want to give you the answer, I want us to get there together. Okay. Partner with Jeremiah 33:3.
I don't have any of the verses.
I have it. So, okay. That's a memory verse for me. So I'm just going to tell you what it says. Jeremiah 33:3 says, and it's God speaking, call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. That's Jeremiah 33:3. Can you read the psalm again?
Would not God have discovered it since he knows the secrets of your heart?
Okay. Now do you understand what I'm driving at when I talk about yieldedness and gentleness as a fruit of the Spirit?
Pursuit of?
Yes. A shade of. Because what you're saying is, I can yield to him. He knows already. He has it already. The great and unsearchable things I do not know. It's your Isaiah 55 again. Yes. God has thoughts that are not my thoughts. Not only should I yield to him because he's God and he's my savior, I can confidently yield to him and his will because he has it under control. He knows and he understands and he knows all the secrets. He understands, he knows where we're going. He has all the knowledge and all the plan, and the plan is good. Jeremiah 29:11 says the plan is good, and it's to give me hope and a future. I can confidently yield to the God of the universe. That's what I'm driving at, because we have a decision to make. We can yield begrudgingly because we know we're supposed to. And I got to tell you, I don't think that kind of yielding is going to last. I don't think you can sustain it. Or we can yield confidently, which, by the way, is totally tied into joy and peace, mm-hmm. right? Knowing that our God has it under control. That's what I was driving at. Does that make sense?
I like the way that all pulls together.
Okay. I know that it was a little random. And as much as I wanted to like totally tell you right away what I was going for, I wanted mm-hmm. you to try to unpack it a little bit.
I think it's a good example of, we have a lot of resources, which I am so thankful for. We were just talking about in this day and age, but I think that is a perfect example of the best book to use to interpret the Bible is the Bible.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Thank you for saying that. We should probably say that every week. Yes. I so feel that way. And I know that there are a lot of book studies and a lot of topical studies, but I'm really all, this is what we do. What we're doing is a big word. You ready for your SAT word for the day? It's called exegesis. And what that means is we're not taking a topic and shoving Bible verses into it to make our point. We're actually taking the Bible and we're trying to understand it better. And the only way you can do that is by reading the Bible. I can talk all day long. Well, who cares? Who cares what I have to say about it? Who cares what I think about it? What does the Bible have to say about it? So thanks for lifting that up. Philippians 2:3, I have now. Philippians 2:3 says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility, consider others better than yourself. And then 4 goes on to say, each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. And the reason I actually didn't include that is because 4 is the action of putting others before yourself. I think it's easier for me to put others before myself. Mm. Than it is for me to think others are better than I am. So I can think I'm pretty great and think I'm better than you and serve you at the same time. In fact, a twisted service mm-hmm. could be totally that whole thing going on where I think I'm better than you. And because I'm better than you, I'm just going to help you out. For myself, I have to remember that this doesn't say consider others before yourself. It says consider others better than yourself. And that to me is a deeper expression of yieldedness and gentleness. And I have to work on that. That's a pride thing for me. That's why I didn't include 4, even though 4 is really important, because 3 for me is the zinger. Okay. Mm-hmm. Study with Friends is here to help you read and understand God's word at every stage of your spiritual growth. Because we are listener supported, we do rely on your prayers and financial support. This month, we are considering the radio station plan for 2017. So if you're blessed by us on this station, please let us know with an email to info@studywithfriends.org or a donation. All donations go directly to the costs of teaching God's Word on air and online. Please consider a donation of any amount. No amount is too small. We just want to know that we're bearing fruit here on your station. You can contact us and let us know where you listen, and also give most easily at our website, studywithfriends.org/donate. That's studywithfriends.org/donate. Don't forget you can listen online too. We have every radio series we've ever done archived on studywithfriends.org, so tool around on our website and find the topics that interest you. While you're there, click on your favorite social media channel in the upper right-hand corner to follow us for daily inspiration and encouragement. You'll find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. We believe strongly in the local church. If you don't regularly attend Sunday worship and a small group Bible study, please find one. Make sure the church is teaching the Bible every week and in every small group situation. See you next time on Study with Friends.